In all of our diversity, in all of our uniqueness, I believe there is still something we all hold in common. And in many ways, you've exemplified it in the last few moments. And it's this, that we do have a common hunger and a drive to experience life. That we all want to experience what it means to be alive, to feel a sense of wholeness, to feel a sense of vitality. A couple weeks ago, I started this series of messages, and I shared this quote from an author by the name of Brian McLaren. And this is what he says, quote, "What we all want is pretty simple. Really, we want to be alive, to feel alive, not just exist, but to thrive, to live out loud, to walk tall, to breathe free. We want to be less lonely, less exhausted, less conflicted or afraid. We want to be more awake, more grateful, more energized, and purposeful. And we capture this kind of mindful, overbrimming life in terms like well-being, shalom, blessedness, wholeness, harmony, life to the full, and aliveness." And if I were, in some ways, to sort of just focus my own personal mission for me and for those that I come into contact with, if I can give something back to this life and this world, it would be to help people discover that aliveness within them. It would be to help people flourish. I don't always get it right. I probably get it more wrong than I get it right, but what I do know is when I get it right, what I feel and what I experience is I want to be in this place more than I'm not in this place. So how does that happen? What does it even look like? You know, for most of us, including me, we often look for aliveness, or we can externally, and we can look for it in our outside world. The problem is, when we look for it in our outside world, we front load a lot of things in our life with expectations that it will finally bring me satisfaction, fulfillment that my soul is needing. And so we expect relationships or people or jobs or hobbies or success or achievements or recognitions or awards or possessions, titles, even sometimes religious activity to give us that meaning and that purpose and that love we seek, that aliveness and that vitality and that energy. But what we find is that all tends to fade away. Something still is missing. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us in this one very simple verse that God has planted eternity in the human heart. In other words, as John Ortberg writes, I love his language, there is this haunting sense that there is something more than this transient world. And it's that something more that drives us. It is that something more that pushes us. It's that something more that keeps us looking for that something more. And if you're like me, you probably end up looking at more outwardly than we do inwardly. This is why Jesus invited his followers in the first chapter to come and see. Jesus is this living presence, this living reality of this something more. It's why Jesus says he came to give life and give it to the fullness of life. Walk with him, listen to him, learn from him, see whether or not the way he offers is the way to life and the way to feeling alive. And he gives us these real live examples in the Gospel of John. And these are why I have chosen to go with these folks, because sometimes we have to see it in people. Nicodemus, the religious leader, the person who had life under control, the person who had all the titles, who had all the religious pedigree. And Jesus said to him, you know, that's all fine and good, but not really. You've got to let go of control. You have got to allow your life to be completely reborn. You need to start from the beginning. Start over again and let the Spirit blow through your dusty soul. And then he goes to the woman at the well and he says, you know, here's what I think is happening with you. And I'm paraphrasing. And he says, what I think is happening with you is you have looked outside of your life. You have looked outside of your soul to find everything you ever thought would meet your needs. And you have looked everything from relationships, mostly. You have looked at wells that have run dry. And you have been in relationship after relationship after relationship. And you are never going to find what's going to meet your deepest need unless you look inward. And inward is this divine love and this divine presence that will validate who you are, that will love you, and you will find that there. And by the way, that is such an important passage to read, because until we discover inwardly that we are deeply loved, we will always go looking for it outwardly, and it will never meet the love that we need. Which brings us to the man sitting by the pool who's been paralyzed for 38 years. Now, for the locals, this pool had held special hope. There was this belief that when the water stirred, it was due to an angel of the Lord who stirred up the water during certain seasons, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease afflicted this person. And Jesus, knowing the man had been there for 38 years, he asks this question: do you want to get well? Or as Mary Ann's translation put it, and I loved it, do you want to be made whole? That's language that I love. But whole or being made well, it's the same thing. Now, it's an interesting question, because why wouldn't the man want to get well? But the man doesn't answer with an emphatic yes. In fact, he answers with an excuse. Maybe out of frustration, maybe from a place of deep disappointment and disillusionment, sort of like, well, why even bother anymore? I gave up 15 years ago. I gave up 20 years ago. He's not only paralyzed physically, but for me, he's paralyzed in his ability to gather up hope anymore, any action, to move towards what could be his possible healing and wholeness. Now, I have to be honest with you, this story of the paralyzed man leaves us open to a lot of questions. And the main one being this: what does this story have to do with those who have physical conditions that we know or they know may never change, but who would desperately love to not be afflicted and be made whole again? And I wrestled with that last night. I wrestled with it. And my anxiety wanted me to come up with some easy answer for you, until the Spirit just finally said, calm down. Sometimes there are no easy answers in life. What I did discover was that we have wholeness and well-being in the heart and soul. And sometimes we have wholeness and well-being in the physical body. And maybe it's not so much about the physical over and against the emotional and spiritual. Maybe it's more about how Jesus grants us the grace and courage to keep moving forward in our life towards a life that is whole and one in which we're learning to live well beyond what is paralyzing us, beyond what might be keeping us stuck, beyond our physical conditions, as well as our emotional problems and challenges, as well as our spiritual journey and our challenges. In other words, maybe we're like this paralyzed man that we gave up hope a long time ago. And in our own disillusionment, in our own cynicism, we just kind of said to Jesus, forget it. It doesn't even matter anymore. Don't even make false promises to me. Keeping stuck sometimes, we don't know what that looks like. And sometimes it bears naming a few things. There's an author by the name of Wilkie Au. Au is how he spells his last name. And he names these areas that we sometimes get stuck. And when I read these, it helped me picture the places that maybe I have sort of been living in for a long time, but have refused to move forward. Just to name a few. We're stuck when we let past failures or poor decisions or missed opportunities make us unforgiving of ourselves and cynical about life. We're stuck when we let ill health and the normal aches and pains of growing old make us crabby and less appreciative of the small blessings of daily life. We're stuck when we let fear rule our life. We're stuck when anger about past disappointments and losses shut us off from reconciliation with a God who wants to be close to us. We're stuck when fear of failure prevents us from trying new things. We're stuck when pain and hurts from past relationships keep us from being loving and vulnerable. We're stuck when we hang on to resentments toward those who have wronged us, and we let those resentments chain us to frustrating relationships. And then this final one, we're stuck when we let the envy of others consume us, rather than gratefully acknowledging our own blessings and developing our own gifts. I included that one last because, as friends and Quakers like to say, that one spoke to my condition. So this past week, when I was recuperating from my stomach bug, I had a moment where I got stuck, where I let the envy of others consume me. And so I wrestled with what I was going to do about this. Two people showed up in my newsfeed, and they had accomplished something in their own personal journey that I wished I had accomplished at this point in my life, something I had done. And as I began to read it, thoughts in my mind began to go, you know what, it's probably not that good anyway. You know what, it's probably someone who did it for them. Or they probably know somebody who knows. I came up with every reason I could to think of why it probably was not that good. And then I thought about the story. And then I thought about how stuck I could be in the envy of others. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? I knew what the Spirit was telling me to do with it, and I didn't want to do it. But I thought, there's really no way off of this until I do. So I got on my computer, my laptop, and I typed to both people, one right after the other, congratulations. I'm so excited about this success in your life. I am really glad that this has worked out. And I was sincere. And I celebrate it with you. And I hope that it breeds further success for you. And I hit send. And when it was done, my heart felt freed. My heart felt liberated. And I say that because I look at the story in this man that's paralyzed. And do you notice how after he excuses and offers up his disillusionment, Jesus simply says this, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And here's what I hear Jesus saying. You know what? It's time to get up from this place of stuckness. It's time to get up from this place of being paralyzed by fear. It's time to get up from this place of cynicism, from this place of disillusionment. It's time to get up from this place of resentment and blame and frustration. It's time to get up, pick up all of that, and begin to walk. And Jesus doesn't say where the man's supposed to walk. He just says walk. But maybe he needs to walk away from everything that's been part of his paralyzed and stuck condition and walk towards the wholeness that's being offered him in that moment. And maybe our wholeness, maybe our living well for you and I has everything to do with the choices we make and our willingness to get up, to leave whatever keeps us stuck and take the next step towards the life being offered us in this divine love in Jesus. It doesn't necessarily mean leave a place physically. It just may mean leave a predisposition, a mindset, an attitude. For me, it was that stuckness of envy. Because if I didn't leave and get up and walk away from that, I was not going to be the whole person I hope I can be to bring a sense of wholeness to this world. So there may be some things in your life you can't change at this time. You maybe can't change jobs. Maybe you can't change your physical condition. Maybe you can't change your past. But maybe there are ways we can change how we view our future, how we accept our lives in the present. Maybe how we keep our hearts and souls open to God's healing love, or how we find the courage to take whatever step we need to take towards healing, towards help, towards living life well and whole. So that question that we've wrestled with this morning, I think, is the question for all of us. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be whole? I can only answer that for myself. Some of you have already wrestled with that, and maybe some of you are wrestling with it already. And then Jesus comes and says, all right, well, get up, pick up your mat. That place of security, that place of identity, that place that you have marked out here that you said you would never move from, get up, pick it up, let's start walking. Because in this journey we take together, I'm going to make you whole as you can be.